Hey everybody, we're here with Five Times Surprise, which is a new band with a bunch of surprising, eclectic, really inventive electric musicians. We're here with Anthony Perug first, but Henry Kaiser is hiding over there on a couch. Tracy Silverman, the electric violinist, is here as well. Andy West is here, of course, who many of you'll know from the Jixie Dregs and other projects with Henry. And we also have Jeff Sipe on drums. So it's a very estimable group. And we're gonna start with Anthony, who has, what do you have strapped on, Anthony? Why don't you take us through your signal chain with some stops at some of your key pieces. Does that sound cool?
Sounds good to me.
All right.
Okay, so this is my 1962 Jazzmaster, and I have Joe Barden pickups in it that I can split, so I can blend single coil and humbucking pickups.
Cool.
I just like this guitar. I got it off of eBay, and it was refinished, and I've had it since 2007, and it's my main guitar, so
oh,
I really just love the tone of it, especially with these pickups, because they're completely silent. And
do you have the original bridge in there?
This is the Mastery Bridge.
Okay.
This is the original tremolo system.
Cool.
Replacement pickguard. But yeah, other than that.
Well, great.
I just love the feel of the neck. It's all worn down, so it's really like touching the wood.
Well, and you've got two other guitars here if we just want to talk about them briefly. You've got a Thinline Tele over there?
That's a 1969 Thinline that I'm going to be using for some overdubs.
Okay.
That's on a... Thank you, Matt. That's on a long-term loan, so that's a great-sounding guitar. And then also, that's my Shelton, if you want to hand that to me real quick. I'd just like to describe this to you. So, because this is a special one, because they put my name on it.
Well, there you go.
So, this is my Shelton Galaxy Flight, and they're available through Shelton, and again, they have the Joe Barden pickups. You can, you know, go to single coil, but it has a... GraphTech bridge, so we can get the piezo, and you can control the volume, so it's electric, acoustic only, both. And this is a stereo jack, so I can send my stuff to my board, and then the other end to an AER or something. And then also has a 13-pin jack here, so I can have a third output, and again, it could be guitar, whatever this is selected to be, just the guitar synth, and then both, and then this is the volume for the guitar synth. So I can run it to a laptop through an Axon or whatever. And I don't know, it's just really fun.
You
know,
yeah.
I'm excited to have
this. Well, it seems like a super versatile guitar, and it
seems
good to fit into the aesthetics of the Mystatics, which is your regular band.
Exactly.
Yeah. Cool.
So,
all right, well, why don't you take us through your rig with some key stops?
Okay, I'm gonna start here.
All right.
This is my pick. Yeah, I use the Blue Chip pick,
all right,
which I love. I saw Julian Lage was using them, so I bought one, and I saw the Bluegrass guys on their website. So I got this TP50, and then I use a Teardrop Clayton because Danny Gann and Ray Buchanan have those small white picks.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got this from them, custom cut, but I love it. I used the other one for 2 years, and it was finally worn down enough in Japan when I was with the Mesthetics over there. I just had to get another one. So I love this pick. Then I go into the Fuzz Factory, which... probably everyone knows what that does.
Yep.
Then this Mel 9, I am really in love with for a couple of reasons. So I just leave it on the flute setting, and it tracks really well with the envelope, right, without the attack. So I have a song that I play with the Mesthetics. It's a Sunny Chirac cover.
Oh, which one?
Once Upon a Time.
Cool.
And I use it on that. I overdrive it. I'll play it without the overdrive first, but just the... So as the guitar decays, the mellotron can... So that sounds good, but then I thought maybe Link Wray would like a little more overdrive on it. So. So I use that for that kind of thing, just to double it. And then also, if I'm improvising, I want more of a contemporary classical kind of sound, I'll... I'll throw that in there to get a little orchestral chamber thing going on.
Something more string-like.
Exactly. So that's fun, and it works very well. The whammy, I don't think I need to say anything about that. I mean,
yeah, we know the whammy.
Yeah.
Our friend the whammy.
Everyone's best. Yeah, so I'll just use it for like in the Mesthetics where yesterday we were tracking, I'll double with octaves. So up or down just to get more of a synthy sound. And then obviously do the pitch stuff like everyone else. Then I have the Diamond compressor, which I like a lot. Just makes it really easy to play clean.
Cool.
So, and also, you know, like getting into the Derek Bailey, Carmen Nixon, and all that.
Yeah.
Get more sustain off of those. I'm sorry, I'm playing and talking at the same time. playing, you know, harmonics and having them sit right with fretted notes. So.
Cool.
That kind of thing.
Yeah, we were enjoying it. Otherwise, we would have interrupted you.
Okay, well, good. So you just see me go over atonal guitar. Okay. All right.
And you've got some other things here. Obviously, you've got a Holy Grail, you've got a hot cake, a rat. It's great to see a rat.
Thank you for saying that, because that's my original first pedal that I got when I was 12, and I still use it for my distortion. And I have the tone rolled all the way off, and I just love the sound of it. So. I just love my rat.
I know it's called a rat, but it can be a beautiful creature.
Yes, yes, sir. Okay, so then I have the Klon.
And is there a story with this Klon?
Kind of.
All right.
Because they're expensive. And I teach at a music store in Virginia called Action Music, and two of them came in. And I was really curious because I like to keep some kind of overdrive pedal on to kind of compress it a little bit and take some of the top end off of the attack. And these pickups are super high output, and it would make any overdrive pedal really just pretty gnarly, and even at zero. So I played this, and it was the only thing that didn't blow up as soon as I plugged this guitar into it. So I figured out a way to get it, and I brought it to a gig, and I didn't tell my wife, and my wife came. And it was a jazz gig at a jazz club in D.C. And at the set break, she just came up to me and she was like, "What's going on with your tone tonight? It sounds really good." I was like, "Oh, I'm not crazy. Okay, this is real." So anyway, I keep it at zero, no gain. And I just kind of use it to shape the tone a little bit. And without it, it sounds a little bit fuller, more mids, less attack. So I leave it on all the time. I see some people in, you know, demos saying you could leave it on all the time. I am that person. Okay, now this is something I love, the Super Hornet. I went down to Athens and visited Greer and got this. It's a fuzz with an octave switch for a momentary octave switch. So here's the fuzz tone. So I just love that effect, and that's a very exciting one. The Hot Cake, I've been going through overdrive pedals. This is just the one I've had for a while now. I was using an OCD, then a King of Tone, which I sold and regret selling, but this is good. So we talked about the Rat.
Yep.
I'm using the Afterneath a lot because that.
It does that, yep.
It's just incredible for
instant
ambient stuff. I just love that, and Earthquaker's making amazing stuff. I keep the DD7 on my board for reverse stuff. So I'll do just, for that kind of texture, or I'll just completely go for the psychedelic. Sometimes I'll just get into that. And then this Moog small delay I use because I had the big one, and that sounds good. I just keep it on four repeats if I'm up all the way. So, and then I'll quickly set it to slapback if I want to get into my rockabilly thing. All that, and then also for the Sunny Chirac, just skronking. I'll get into all that. And I don't have my ringtone plugged in right now, but that's an important one for the improv to take it into like early electronic. 16-second digital delay reissue. So I was using the DL4, but then this was the first one I found that was like 4.5 minutes of looping without with overdubs, and it does a couple of other interesting things I'll show you quickly, if we have time. We're okay, right? All right. Okay, so what I do is I'll find a chord progression, or if when I have a chord progression, I'll find all the notes that work behind it. Let me just turn this back to the long delay. Oh, and the feedback was all messed up, so. Let's see. So I'll let that go in reverse so that it doesn't affect anything rhythmic I'm playing. Then I have a lo-fi loop junkie after. I'll dump that in, because that's a one shot to get that Boards of Canada warble that I love so much. Then on top of that, I can go up an octave. Then I can do my thing. And I can, I love this pedal because of the 2-octave slider, which becomes a 3-octave slider with the foot switch. So what's great about this is you can record the glitches. And then once I stop that, I can glitch the glitches and go up octaves. Then I can have both of them going, start something else on top of that. And yeah, I just love this. But at the time, it was the only thing I found that was like doing longer periods of time. And of course, my 2 idols use it, so.
And who are they?
Well, Bill Frisell and Nels Klein both played the originals. So I mentioned Danny Gannon and Sonny Chirac before. Yep. Those are my 4.
Yep, and Roy, you mentioned him as well.
Yep, and because I'm from D.C., so I have to have a Telecaster with bargains. But last thing I'll show you is this Noise Swash, because I think that this is really great. I usually have a Form S pedals Nocto Loco for really wild noise sounds, but that's broken right now. My friend's fixing it. So this is just like a single oscillator that I can... Yes.
Which sometimes we need to do.
I find that I need to do it fairly often. Once I am able, know that I'm able to. All
right, so. And you're running everything in the deluxe today. Did you drive this amp here, or is this just...
Yeah, I drove everything down. I use, with the Mesthetics, I use this, and I have a Marshall 2061 back there.
Okay.
Like a single 12.
Is there anything different about the deluxe? Is it modded at all? Or?
No. So I mean, it's got like a Weber California speaker in it.
And what year is that deluxe?
65.
Cool.
So I was lucky enough to find that in Virginia.
Cool.
And I love that because it can do the Tele thing and take all the pedals, and I am, yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Anthony.
Thank you.
Great
for
to meet you.
Me.
Glad you could join us for a Rig Rundown.
Okay.
Man.
Thank you so much for having me.
And now our next stop with 5-Time Surprises with Andy West, the great bassist from the Dixie Dregs. He's also been in another band with Henry, Crazy Backwards Alphabet, and a bunch of other groups. You are a busy man and an eclectic guy, too.
Well, yeah, I say eclectic. I don't know how busy I am, but busy enough, let's put it that way.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
And so really happy to be here and tell you a little bit about what I've been doing lately with the gear and stuff.
Yeah, please do. Shall we start with this gorgeous bass?
Absolutely.
Roll
this
it
is
down
a 6-string made by Jeff Gould in San Francisco. Jeff was the founder of Modulus Graphite. So this has a graphite neck. And I had this custom made with the 5-string neck, but the 6-string spacing, so a really tight spacing.
Cool.
Because I like it, so you know I can do just more chordal stuff for writing, and plus playing fast lines, it's easier to cross strings with the pick and the whole thing. So You know, the only thing that the tight spacing is not good for is a lot of slapping. Okay. And so I have a 5-string bass if I ever use my thumb, which is only occasion.
Okay.
Yeah. And this has also the EMG pickups. There's, I've been using EMGs since I had a Steinberger, which was, actually I had one of the very first Steinbergers in like 1979.
You are one of the first people I ever remember seeing with a Steinberger.
Yeah. Yeah. So, that's a whole other thing, but I don't have that bass anymore, unfortunately. I mean, I started with Steinbergers and Alembic, so I've always been into high-end basses. Mm-hmm. But they had the EMGs, and I've stuck with the EMGs ever since, really. And these are just their normal P-bass style pickup. No, this is a humbucker, and this is another humbucker, which is a bigger humbucker, and it's got a like a single pole switch, you know, so I can pull that in and out. And I basically, with basses, what I found is that you can get a lot of variety. Like with my Alembic, for example, which had infinite sounds, this does too. You end up with about 2 or 3 settings at most.
Your pet tones.
You know, yeah. So I mean, I've even talked to Rob Turner about sort of like trying to figure out how can I just get the sounds I want and then have them be like on a switch, like just a rotary switch. And he's like, yeah, we could do that. You know, we could figure that out. But haven't gone there yet. I just figured out where the knobs need to go and just leave them there.
Okay.
So most of the sound I get is out of the pedals and that kind of thing.
Okay. And what string gauges are you using?
These are like a regular medium gauge. I don't really even know the exact gauges. I'd have to look them up in my... This goes down to like a 128 for the B.
Okay.
And the C is probably... like a 28 or somewhere around there, maybe. They're Labella strings. I love these strings. These are, they're what they call super polished. Mm-hmm. So they're like, they're not really flat, but they have a very smooth feel, and they're kind of half flat, almost like the ground wound strings. I used to use the half grounds, they were called, you know, and I really like those. And then for a long time I was playing round ones, but these just have the snap and the sound that I really like. They're very articulate, very smooth, very fun, easy to play. I can still bend them.
Nice.
You know, and yeah, it's just my tone. They work really well with a pick. I play mainly with a pick. And so, you know, but when I need to, I can play fingers, but I just think these kind of strings are, they're really, really special. And I also have used the Super Steps, which are the exposed core on the bridge. Mm-hmm. These don't have that, but I have another bass which I have those on, and I really like those too because they have a lot of just sort of a real ringy tone to them.
Well, just one quick question too, since this band is making such distinctive music, could you just briefly tell us a little bit about how you first connected with Henry and what you guys had in common as a musical thread?
Yeah, sure. You and most people probably know of me, if at all, because of my history with the Dregs, with Dixie Dregs. And the Dregs are a very sort of precise, you know, high-level instrumental band, very articulate, very particular, you know, fusion styles, which are just, you know, in the pocket, so to speak, you know, or as Jeff would say, on the grid, you know, very kind of aligned metronomically, and requires a lot of... athleticism and technique to be able to play that stuff. So that's the kind of music that I sort of grew up with, really, and became an adult with. With Henry, I met Henry through Jeff Gould when he had a shop in the Bay Area. I moved to the Bay Area in, around 1984 for a year or two, and that's where I met Henry. And Jeff was like, oh, you need to meet this guy Henry. And I'm like, okay, you know, I'd never heard of him or anything. And we just became friends. You know, he invited me over, and then Henry is a musicologist, and I learned over the years so many things about different kinds of music from him, and we jammed and had different things, and then every now and again he would say, hey, you want to come and play with this guy? And so we started to play, but it was very different, not fusion oriented. Everything was more about feel and different kinds of feels, and you'll hear what Henry does and you'll hear what this band does. But for me, it was really stepping outside of the box of that kind of articulation, that kind of fusion-oriented thing to get into this. But I love it. You know, it's great. There's a lot of free improvisation in it, so there's times when it is, you know, perhaps to the listener not listenable, but to us as players, it's really a blast to play.
Uh-huh.
You know, and then what we try and do with this project is we do a lot of that kind of stuff, but we try and tease out of it through editing what was really you know, powerful or emotional or that kind of thing.
Well, let's talk about this Helix on the floor.
Okay. Yeah, sure. So the Dregs did a reunion tour earlier this year, which was the first time that the original band on the very first album got together since 1977. So it was really an exciting thing to get back into it. And I've been using plugins and really not doing live performance very much. So, you know, I didn't really have a live rig that would do what I wanted it to do for the Dregs, which back in the day, I had a Mutron phase, I had the biphase pedal, I had the, you know, the envelope follower, you know, all those kind of things, a little bit of distortion. So I thought about going back to those pedals, but I've also been using Line 6 gear for a long time, and they had just come out with a Helix. So I thought, okay, well, I can just use a Helix. And because here's the thing, this is where you get into the philosophy of sound and so on and so forth, right? Where are you going to go for the sound of a bass through an amp, or are you going to go for a sound?
Right.
You know, and I'm a guy who goes for the sound. Ever since I started, I've been using as high-end, as full-range cabinets as I could. I always used a crossover with subs and this kind of stuff, and just to get a very clear, articulate sound because of my pick and because that's the sound I wanted. Mm-hmm. So I started to look at, because this thing has modeling built into it, and you know, I can get a little bit of grit out of it if I want to. I just decided to go with the Helix only and a full range, you know, rig. It's like a PA rig. So let me turn this on. So I used Electro Voice cabinets. I got their high end kind of music PA cabinets, a 15 inch sub, a 12 with a horn. Mm-hmm. I think it's called the ETX series. And it worked out great. I mean, it was just like, you know, this straight into that, and that's all I had, you know. And really, I had like a master EQ on this, mm-hmm. and then just a couple of little simple effects. Use a simple delay, phaser, chorus, that kind of thing.
Yep, and you've got an H9 as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, an H9. So
the ubiquitous H9. Everywhere yeah. I go, I see these now.
Well, you know, it's an amazing thing. And when I went out on tour, I was talking to Henry about this, and I said, you know, I've been using all these Eventide plugins. And I'm thinking about using my computer, and he's like, no, you don't want to do that. And everyone, you know, computers are kind of precarious. You know, I still love the computer. I'm going to talk about that. But,
okay.
but you know, for a hardcore touring thing where you got roadies and this kind of stuff, I mean, unless you have people that really understand the ins and outs of what you're dealing with here,
yep.
it can be pretty tricky.
Yeah.
So I said, let me just get it. You know, I love the Eventide. Eventide does some things that the Line 6 doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm sure that they're working on that. But these guys always stay a step ahead too, so it's cool. But what I really like about the Line 6 is, so I went on tour with this without the computer, because you can program in all of the signal chain and you can change things around through the interface,
yep.
which is just awesome, right? And so I want the, you know, the phaser after the octave box, or I want the octave box, you know, at the end of the chain, right? You can do all that kind of stuff. And then you can mix it back together, and it's just really cool. And so with the H9, I've got it set in where, you know, I can change it through MIDI. I can change the program. It's interesting. Right now, I've got it where I can change it from. They just released a Bluetooth control on the Android, so I can, you know, punch it up and change the programs. It's pretty cool. But again, you don't want to count on that live.
Well, and do you have a sort of a core setting that you use primarily with this live?
Yeah.
I'm sure you're all over the place.
It's really just a straight sound, you know. Okay. And again, we're in a studio here, so I don't have my PA rig. It's just going through an amp. But through the board, it just sounds exactly like I want. It's a very slight distortion, like this amp sound there. That's without it. So it adds a little bit of,
yep.
you know, snap and mid to it. And then, you know, on here I've got a couple of things, like I had the wah. And the wah is cool because you can take the wah sound and then have a separate chain with the straight bass sound and then blend it back together, which is why I've always didn't want to use a wah, because it cuts out all the lows.
Right.
You know, but here I've still got it.
Right, that's cool. Yes, it's essentially having two completely different effects.
Yeah, you've got two chains, you know, and you yep. can blend and split. And then here I've got another one with this, with this H9, I've got it set up here with a pedal.
Yep.
Greg's stuff, but I might use that here, or I might use it on a solo thing or something. I love playing with that stuff. And then what's also one other super cool thing about the Line 6, mm-hmm. like I said, I patch in the H9, and I can put it in anywhere in the chain through a foot switch or through MIDI, and then I have a pedal which controls the output of it, you know, blended in. But I can also have plugins. So I've got a plugin set up with the Eventide. So here, like, for example, is this Octavox thing, which... So that's going, my bass goes out into the computer, through the plug-in, and then back.
Back, cool.
And I'm using Reaper as the DAW here.
Okay.
Reaper's an incredible program. I don't know if you're familiar with it.
I'm not.
Yeah. It's a great program. I mean, I wouldn't recommend it for everybody because it's a little bit tweaky. It's very configurable, but really powerful, really reasonably priced. It's great. And so I just use that to host my plugins.
Cool.
You know? And I can have anything in here. Now, the other cool thing about the computer is you don't worry about a little bit of latency, mm-hmm. right? Because this is effectively no latency. You know, it's as near real time as you can get with the processor, and so I don't really hear any delay with like modeling and that kind of stuff. Going through the computer, you do hear some delay. But if I'm using a delay plugin mm-hmm. or a reverb or that kind of thing, it doesn't matter. You don't hear it, right? It's natural. So like with this Eventide plugin, it just, you know, it's just, it's got a latency, but you would never notice it. So that's why this works. You know, otherwise it wouldn't work. Like if I was using an amp simulator on here, there would be delay.
Yeah. Well, and the great thing about it is that it just basically gives you almost an infinite number of possibilities.
Infinite. I mean, literally, you know, way too much.
Yeah.
You know, but since I sit alone in my studio, you know, tweaking this stuff, I guess it's okay.
It's okay. Yeah. It is okay.
Yeah.
It's completely okay.
Yeah.
Embrace
plus,
it.
Plus, you know, I mean, I really feel like the electronics lends itself to composition.
Right.
You know, some of those sounds that you just heard me play, I can turn those into songs, you know,
yeah.
and it's really cool. So there's a lot. It's a lot left to explore here. I still have Ableton, and you know I know how to use Pro Tools. I've been using it since the 90s, and Logic is my main thing.
Okay.
Although you might notice this is not a Mac, so I'm weaning myself off of Mac. You know, Reaper works on both, but I have dozens of unfinished projects in Logic, so I have to get rid of those. And that's about it.
Well, thanks a lot for the tour, and I really appreciate it.
Yeah, no, thank
and
you
it's
for
great
coming.
To meet
I really
you.
Appreciate it.
Well, we're excited. And we're excited to hear this album, too, when it comes up.
It's really different, and it's really cool.
I'll bet it is.
All right, thanks.
Okay, and here we are talking to Henry Kaiser. Henry is a gentleman who pulled this assemblage of musicians together. And Henry is also somebody who I've known for decades. So it's great to see you again, Henry.
Great to see you.
And his music has inspired me a great deal. And he's got an awesome rig here and some beautiful guitars. And I'm just going to let you take it away, Henry, starting with that instrument you're wearing right now.
This is a prototype guitar that Michael Spalt made for somebody else that I ended up with. And what's special about it is the tremolo, the Don Ramsey linear tremolo, which is a tremolo where the bridge moves back and forth and never pivots on a pivot. It has a linear bearing. It's very unusual. And I love this tremolo. And this guitar also, which has a rosewood neck, has a 27-inch scale. And I kind of wish all guitars had 27-inch scales. The other thing I wish is, pick this up, Tim.
I will.
This is a Klein Custom Electric that I've had since the early 90s. And I've replaced the frets, if the camera was to look at the frets, with a True Temperament aftermarket neck from Sweden that was made by Danny Ransom and then fretted by True Temperament in the U.S. This is a system, you can look it up online, where they've actually made the guitar play in tune. Guitar's not really in tune. This is in tune. It's great. And this I can carry on an airplane, and this goes most places. It's been in Antarctica 5 or 6 times. Once the bridge cracked in half in Antarctica because it was so cold in our field camp where I work. Anyway.
Yeah, Henry is, by the way, a diver in Antarctica for the U.S. expedition.
Yep, U.S. Antarctic
there.
Program. So that guitar has Alembic pickups. This just happens to have Seymour Duncan pickups in it. And then I've got a lot of pedals here on the floor. This goes down. It goes to a Chase Tone secret preamp, which is an Echoplex type preamp. that I just recently got that I like, and I usually play active electronics guitars, but for this session I'm playing passive ones, so I brought that. It goes down to that, it goes to a tuner, a turbo tuner, and then it goes to my favorite compressor of all, the Old World Audio 1960 compressor. I see their website's gone, that worries me. And after that, it goes to the Sonus Wahoo wah pedal, which does something unique among wah pedals. Let me show you. So we know how an auto wah. Let's hear an auto wah over here. An auto wah follows the envelope of the sound, but there's a mode of the Sonus Wahoo where it follows the relative pitch of the sound. So. So if I bend a note, it opens the wah. And together with a fuzz, it does something that's not doesn't sound like anything else. And it surprises you. If the guitar squeals with feedback, it opens it up. It's a great pedal. It does regular wah pedal stuff, sample and hold stuff, all the things I like. Then I've got a Love Tone rubber chicken envelope that has a really nice, very vocal sound I like. And then there's 6 distortion pedals. There's a Stomp Underfoot Ram's Head. There's an EC Mystical Sustainer. There's the mysterious Montreal Assembly Your and Your, which is a very synthy sounding fuzz that's very gated. Then there's my favorite discontinued distortion pedal from Tech 21, their Comp Torsion. And it's a gated fuzz also. Then from Mr. Tanabe in Japan, who makes the Dumb Kudo pedals, there's a special one-off Super Dumb Kudo, which is two Dumb Kudos with the same set of controls in series in a housing. And then for this gig, there is a Vemaram Jan Ray pedal, which sort of sounds like a blackface super reverb. And then the new beloved child around here, the Game Changer Audio Plasma pedal, which is a very strange pedal that you'll just have to look up online at Game Changer. Plasma pedal, find it, and it's just a special kind of distortion through a gas-filled tube. And one of the side effects of the way it works, which is unlike any other distortion pedal, is that it seems like there's like 100 gates in different frequency bandwidths. So. It has a really strange way of shutting up. And if I was to put another distortion before it and an octave pedal after it, it makes a nice combination of things. Then there's an EBS, a Swedish octobass pedal made for bass players that sounds great with guitar. then the Red Panda Lab Tensor. And now we've moved away from distortion and stuff into things that manipulate the signal in strange digital ways.
And you've actually told me that of all the pedals, the Tensor is one of the ones you would always like to have with
you. I got to have a lot of design input into the Tensor,
okay.
Ted and folks, so it does all the things I need, like it does my... It does my crazy Henry Kaiser momentary transposition thing. Anthony, using the whammy pedal over there, has to step on a pedal twice to change the pitch. Once to change it and again to change it back. But I just have to step on it in a momentary way. So let's see, open E, B string. I mean open E, then the B on the E string. And if you add Mr. Distortion to it, you can do a lot of funny things. Next is the Hex Revolver DX16, which is a longer version of their DX pedal, longer memory time, and it has 17 seconds, even though they call it the DX16. And let me show you, I can play a line, and I can transpose it, in this case, up an octave, and then it chops it up and plays the loop in different random orders. So let's see. So you can use it to back yourself up and it won't sound like a loop, or you can use it to make a crazy solo, or you can take a bathroom break or go get a sandwich or something. Then there's an Eventide H9, which everybody knows, which I mainly use for momentary. That's a fifth momentary octave. Or if I was playing... Okay, then it comes out the back of that and it goes to a kill switch from Electro Harmonix, which sends to two pedals. It sends to a TC flashback delay, which I have set for reverse in backwards mode. So if I... a volume pedal after that so I can turn it on and off. There's also a Montreal Assembly pedal here, which will speed my playing up to twice as fast as normal. So what that does is, to speed up twice as fast, it has to play everything I play twice. So it's just something you learn to play with and learn to deal with. And there's an Ernie Ball volume pedal. And then there's a nice tremolo, the Flux liquid tremolo from Australia that I really like. There's a GFI Specular Tempus reverb. As for amps, here in the studio, I borrowed this beautiful blue Tolex-covered deluxe reissue from Steve Fischel, one of the greatest steel guitar players in the world, who's here in Nashville, and kindly lent me this amp. This amp has an old Fender D120, F120 speaker in it, orange frame. And for me, what I do, I don't want to have speaker coloration, and I want the speaker to sound the same at all volume levels, and that's what JBL speakers do. And I was shocked to find they've gone out of fashion here in Nashville. I mean, this is the speaker that Ralph Mooney would have wanted for his steel guitar in 1966 in Bakersfield in a club. And basically, that's what I want. I've used Dumbles, Two Rocks, and with the JBL speaker, they sort of do that job of a clean amp. We're not playing too loud in here. I use this. The JBL speaker feeds back much more easily over a wide frequency spectrum than regular speakers. They don't have the peaks and spots. And also, their magnetic field comes out from the bigger El Nico magnet, comes out a little farther, and I can do all sorts of crazy and interesting feedback with that kind of speaker. And let me just play one little last thing before you have any questions.
Yeah, go right ahead.
So here's another guitar, a Michael Spalt Totem guitar that I've had for a long time. It's made out of a piece of reclaimed wood from a Chinese restaurant sign. It says Ha on it. And it has a Fernandez sustainer in it. And it's interesting what you can do with this speaker and a guitar like this.
And if you want to know more about Henry and his music and just want some inspiration to begin improvising or to kind of build a library of records by improvisers, I suggest you check out the story that I did on Henry in the September issue of Premier Guitar, which kind of works as a primer for all those things. Or I guess we say primer in New England, don't we?
You're so prim and proper. Yes.
Thanks a lot, Henry. Really appreciate it. It's great to see you again, too.
Thanks, folks.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for watching the latest Rig Rundown. Guess what? Every week, we upload a brand new Rig Rundown to PremierGuitar.com a full week before it's available here on YouTube. So to get your gear fix as soon as humanly possible, go to PremierGuitar.com/Rig Rundown. And while you're there, be sure to sign up to get an email notification so you're the first to know as soon as each week's new Rig Rundown is available. Cheers. See you soon.